From the distance between our ears to the distance between your ears, we welcome you back to another production of Casting Nets Podcast, a time when we just throw out ideas, we fish around, hopefully we bring you Jesus Christ in a way that maybe you haven't heard before, in a way that's a little bit easier for you to understand, and we invite you to dive deep into the ramblings that is our minds and our conversations that my cohort in crime, the bald, the beautiful Don Winsberger has, as myself, also the overweight and probably large and in charge, Will Harley, as your hosts. Today we deal with some of the things that we hope will be changing here in the new future. The spread of stress that is probably more infectious than the actual COVID virus that we are all protecting ourselves from. And so as we gather, we are going to be looking at that topic for us here today. But before we get into that topic, we probably should give you our disclaimer because, you know, we're bound to make someone angry probably more often than not. And so our disclaimer is that we do not speak for our employers. We do not speak for the synod in which we are a part, the churches that we serve. Half the time, we're probably not even speaking for ourselves because, well, most of the time, they're not even our ideas. We've stolen them from someone else and claimed them as our own. And so as we talk, they are just ramblings. Some of them, if they offend you, turn us off. It's a podcast. No one else is listening, I guarantee you. And if it's something that you like or you want to dive into another conversation with us, by all means, just reach out and find us at our churches, find us on our website, email us, do something to let us know that you would like to have a conversation with us. So I think having that as our introduction and taking a look at where we're going, we'll have our little transitional music as we dive on into our subject, and then we'll sort of let my cohort in crime here lead the way. So without further ado, let's start on.
It's good to be with you, Pastor Harley. Good to have our listeners with us today, too. We're going to be talking about stress from the coronavirus, and I just wanted to start out with a couple of points here. First of all, many of you don't know that back here a few weeks ago that Pastor Harley had to go into really a 14-day quarantine, bought himself 144 rolls of toilet paper. This is what I told him. I said, if you need 144 rolls of toilet paper for the quarantine, you should have been seeing a doctor long before the coronavirus outbreak. And so, and then one more thing. This is just something, one of the rumors that's going around. I heard this Corona beer that they there's so much stigma upon them. They are changing their brand name to Ebola.
Probably have more sales. I walked into a Dollar General and they're just trying to give the Corona away.
So on that note, this is, if you can't tell people, those of you who know me, I try to handle stress in one of two ways. It's either killing animals or humor.
And for those who are PETA lovers, he doesn't care.
Yes. people eating tasty animals. But anyway, right now, since it's not a hunting season, and my wife won't let me take the beagle out into the country, I have to use humor. So Anyway, one of the things that I wanted to do with this is as we were talking about what we wanted to talk about this week, and it is really up to the minute, on the spot, something contemporary, what we're dealing with, is this whole coronavirus situation. It's something unknown, unseen. I have seen people, myself, you, family members, fellow Christians, at such a level of stress that I rarely see. I usually see stuff like this before you, and this is just put a magnifying glass on it. In 31 years of ministry, usually people getting stir crazy through the winter months, and especially during a real hard winter when everybody, you can't go outside and do what you want, people become really unruly, unhappy, and make ministry a challenge. And yeah,
I usually see that in January, right? You usually get that in January, between like January and middle of February, where you know, because you're at the darkest hours of the day and everything else, people are going kind of nuts and crazy because they can't go outside. It's too cold. It's too snowy, whatever else. The kids are going batty. But like you said, we're seeing this now, and it's beautiful outside, and the kids are going batty. It's beautiful, and the kids are going nuts. I walked by my son today, just to tell you a little bit of a short story. I walked by him. He's sitting there watching TV, and he's just vibrating. And I'm like, why don't you go outside and run around? What am I going to do out there? I don't know. Pick grass. Find a weed. Find poison ivy. Play with it. I don't know. And he's like, well, there's no one else out there that I can play with too, because social distancing, right? You can't play with other people. And so, you know, what do they do?
And look how well social distancing worked in the movie The Shining.
Because that's a true to life story, right?
Here's Johnny.
But no, it's one of those things where I think, you know, I understand, and we want to be fair to our government officials, and we want to be fair to the people who probably know viruses a heck of a lot more than we do, because they went to school for that and we went to school for something else. But let's be fair to them and say, okay, you know, social distancing probably is not a bad deal, so that we sort of stay away from direct contact, because let's face it, by and large, people in the United States don't really clean themselves very well. We kind of lost that idea of, you know, washing our hands and face, and, you know, making sure that we were kind of clean before we went and touched everything. And so maybe this is a return a little bit to, you know, just the basic idea. I remember when I was a kid, we used to have on the TV, the little programs that were there for the kids, and it just, wash your hands. Remember, wash your hands program. I haven't seen one of those in ever until now. Now it's here, wash your hands, and here's how you're supposed to do it. Wow. I never thought we would be seeing the day where we had to tell people in the United States, who had a plethora of soap on every shelf, wash your hands. But we're there, right? We're there.
Yep. What do you think is the biggest contributor to the stress and the anxiety that people are going on? You know, I'll throw one out. Maybe it's so much unknown. We don't know a whole lot. There's not one of us that can know everything. Whether you bring up the healthcare professionals who are trained in this, even they don't know everything. We're not trained in their area. There's so much unknown for all of us. I think, am I wrong in saying that so much of this consternation comes from the unknown?
Yeah, I think a lot of it does come from the unknown. I think a lot of it is based around the fact that, let me just take a step back. The unknown is created when the unknown is being created when every day you turn on the television and something different. So, you know, I'll turn on the TV, you know, when this whole thing started, you turn on the TV and they said, you know, and I kid you not, they said, you know, this COVID virus is going to sweep through everything and it's killing everybody and everyone's going to die. And then the next day you turn it on and it's like, yeah, we were wrong. Not everyone's going to die. Probably like less than 10% of the people who actually contract the virus will even have to be put into the hospital. And then you wait a little bit. And then they said, well, you know, actually the people that were supposed to be in the hospital really didn't probably need to be in the hospital. And it's only about 1% of the people that actually had to go into the hospital really needed to go in the hospital. And we found out that putting them on respirators was probably not helping them as much as we thought it was going to be helping them. Well, you know, unfortunately, everything they've heard in the last 3 days, people are still hanging on because they're still trying to process what I heard at the very beginning. And it just, yep. Causes so, what do you believe then at the very end? Because now we're months into this, right? We're months into this. And I'm not belittling how many people have gotten sick. It's horrible. But, and I admit this virus spreads faster than probably the flu. But man, I mean, I don't see the, I don't, in our area of the world, I don't see the hospitals overrun. I don't see people falling over in the streets. I don't see the people who are wandering around wondering where they're going to go. What I do see though is I see people who have been told they can't go to work, and people who have been now said, well, we have to go on unemployment, but they can't get an unemployment check, and I do see people who have been told by the media to be so afraid that they are almost afraid to go outside of their house to go grocery shopping because they're afraid that by stepping outside, someone might sneeze a mile away and it'll be carried on the wind and now they're going to be sick. That's what I see. I see more of the unknown coming in the scare and the stress coming from what can I do? What can't I do? And what I used to do apparently doesn't work.
And one of the things is I want people to take home, anybody that's listening to us today, I want you to be able to take home some comfort, some assurance, which is really difficult in the midst of the unknown. But keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that we don't know in any situation in this life as much as we like to think that we do. That being said, maybe looking at a few things that I think would be good to, one thing to address for sure. One thing that I've noticed through these past 2 months of just completely different lifestyle is this. I see two factions in our Wells congregations. We got a faction that says, okay, let's take this seriously. Let's do our part to protect the vulnerable and as many as we can. And then you've got the other faction that says, all that be damned. Let nobody tell nobody, especially the government, doesn't tell us what to do, and we need to be doing whatever we want as individuals and as a church, because this is all a bunch of hogwash. Should there be a median?
Well,
and that just to guide us a little bit there.
Well, and I think what you're talking about though is what you're seeing. It's a reflection, a little microcosm of what you're seeing in the society around us. In the society around us, we have the people who are so, you know, they've gone all the way to the left and said, you know, I'm gonna shut my doors. I'm not gonna go out. I'm gonna do all this. And then we have the ultra right who are saying, I'm gonna stand shoulder to shoulder with anybody. I don't care, without a face mask or without any protection. And we're gonna prove them wrong. And then you got this small minority of people who are in the middle saying, the pendulum's got to stop somewhere. We can't keep swinging from one side to the other. Let's stop it and let's take the best of both worlds and say, how do we embrace our freedom to live freely for someone else and say that, yes, I have freedom to do whatever I want with, so we think, but maybe I'm going to use my freedom to protect myself and someone else by wearing a face mask. Maybe I'll use my freedom by not touching every living thing in the store while I walk down there because I don't need to. I'm not even looking to buy it. I don't even think it's going to go on my cart. So why are you touching it? Leave it alone.
So it's a good thing you're saying that, you're saying it's a good thing that Wisconsin has strict conceal and carry laws?
Probably. But it's one of those things where I think in the church you have that too. I think this is something that we've been sort of following this trend, right? What can we do in Christian freedom? What are we able to do now that we're freed by Christ? Well, we're freed to serve one another. And so in the church, what does that translate into? What does that look like? And it doesn't look like.
And we have seen so much among Lutheran parishioners, and sorry for being a little bit jaded here, listeners, that we pass sometimes we as pastors too, but we observe that our parishioners struggle with Christian freedom.
Absolutely. And here's the funny thing. They'll say, Pastor, tell us what to do. And then when you give them input into what we can do in Christian freedom, well, we don't like that. Then why'd you ask? You know, but this is one of those things where I think in this area, and this is causing stress for the pastorate and probably the parishioner too, because we have these people within our congregations on all sides and some people in the middle. And we have some people in the middle that say, Pastor or our congregation or whatever, you're doing the best you can. Thank you for doing that. And we're gonna continue to try doing what we can do. And that is amazing. Then you have the other people on the left that say, Pastor, council, I don't care if you open up. I don't care if you have service. I'm not going to participate anyway because I'm too petrified to go anywhere. And that's what they can do.
And we need to be slow to, not quick to judge on that.
Absolutely. I'm not saying they're wrong. Yeah. I'm not judging them. I'm saying that's where they stand. That's where they stand. Yep. And then you're going to have the other people that say, you know, I'm going to throw all caution to the wind and, you know, it's not in my county. It's not in my town. It's not in my family. I'm perfectly healthy. I'm just going to go in and we're just going to go and do these things. So how does the church respond? Well, here's the stress, right? Here's the stress for at least pastors. We have to respond by saying we got to find the best of both worlds. And we've got to.
Doesn't Paul say it in Philippians 2 and the brothers, sisters, this isn't something that I came up with on my own. Actually, this is something that I think it's Bob Hine, one of the synodical officials, in a nice little pamphlet that was put out yesterday called "For Such a Time as This." Paul says this, and this is just something that's eye opening for me, comforting for me. Philippians 2: Do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility. Consider one another better than yourselves. Let each of you look carefully, not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And if that isn't something that speaks specifically and concisely and accurately to today's situation that we're living in, nothing does.
Well, yeah, and highlight that section, right, that says, you know, look to the welfare of others. I mean, in Christian freedom, it's not just what I want. It's what is going to be best for all people involved, right? And sometimes that means giving up with what I want for the hope and comfort of other people. And it's
so easy to try to justify my feelings by looking at somebody else's actions and making a snap judgment that their viewpoint is wrong and sinful.
Right.
And then I justify mine. I justify my own selfishness.
Well, isn't that exactly what the sinful nature does all the time? The sinful nature all the time looks at it and says it's inverted upon itself, right? The opinio legis, Latin term meaning that the original sin that old man that lives inside of us, and I'm not talking about you, Don.
the sinful nature inside of us that wants to go back to the burden of the law.
Right. But it's the burden of the law that's focused on me. It's not focused on someone else. So in other words, I gravitate to the things that I think I can do. I gravitate to the things that I think I've done better than someone else. I gravitate to the things that will influence and what I perceive will help me in my life more. And this is the probably the part where this causes stress all the way around, because when we get caught, you know, the old idiom, idle hands is a devil's playground, right? And we're told to be separated. We're told to be staying at home. And what are we doing? We're doing everything but actually engaging and living. And I mean, God created us to work. God created us to be active. God created us to be social. That's part of who we are, a part of creation. God said in the very beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not a good thing that they stay by themselves. And so what are we seeing? We're seeing these idle hands, idle minds, and they're running amok.
On this note, just another way of looking at it, out there in Wisconsin, this is something I notice here, and I know that we have our governor here is quite a bit lenient than the governor in Wisconsin. But do you see this? My observation is that, okay, you got the hospitals and everybody and for a while the restaurants, social distancing and that. And then you had the churches participating in that and safety precautions. But one thing I have observed, everybody else was not. I mean, I'm sorry, the people in my community, it was kind of business as usual, except you couldn't go into the restaurant. The bar was closed for a while. But really, the only ones that are really practicing these things are the institution of the church and the institution of the healthcare.
Well, and that's interesting. Out in South Dakota, when it was given as a recommendation, I could totally see that, because after living there for 9 years, that's just the way it is. But out in Wisconsin, we didn't have a choice. You didn't have the choice to say, well, I'll take this and throw away that. They pretty much, until just recently, when the Supreme Court of Wisconsin ruled that it was unconstitutional and undefensible and those executive orders couldn't stand, they pretty much said, you know, they were told, everybody was told, unless we deem you a valid essential business, you can't stay open. And here's the thing that got me on that is, you know, you're telling somebody who's been working, whether it's their own business or as an employee, that was their livelihood. That's how they were putting food on the table for their children. That's how they were paying for their mortgage. It was vitally essential for them. And the government says, well, we deem you non-essential. I don't get how that even works. But I mean, you can't say that doesn't add to the stress of living. I mean, you were just told that the livelihood, the job that you went to, hopefully you enjoyed, maybe you didn't, was now deemed by the higher ups in the world and society as a useless job.
That's kind of along the topic we had a vocation a while back too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I can understand the outrage that Christians had, because they said, you're saying that my church now is a useless entity.
Yes.
And go even further than that. My dentist is a useless entity. And my optometrist is a useless entity. You know, I can't get my eyes checked or get new glasses because that's a useless entity.
And realize we've got listeners in different parts of the country to where where in some cases that is correct. And then some places it's more towards the middle. And in some places it's not that case. So apply these things to whatever area of the country that you're listening in, because even out here, our governor has told us countless numbers of times, we've never closed the churches down. I mean, I hear my own members saying they've closed us down. No, they haven't. We have pulled ourselves back out of care and concern for our own members and our members of our community at the suggestion and the guidelines of the governor, but they have not shut us down.
And see, this is where it's different, because in Wisconsin, it was very specific that we were left out of as essential, that we could not function in a person-to-person type of way.
And if we could have worshipped here and done it inside, maintained all the safety measures and kept and maintained social distances, we would have done it. And you know what? We probably could have done it, but I wouldn't have been able to go to bed ever.
Right. You don't have the space for one.
Yes. You don't have the space for it. Yep. And so now as things are being relaxed, now they're allowing groups of 50. And then the three churches that I serve, two of them, that's not going to be really a problem. The larger one I'm serving in vacancy, we'll be able to do that because the building is big enough for us to separate a group of about 90.
Right. Yep. And we're kind of doing that and approaching that way. Hopefully coming up here within this next week for St. John as well. We will probably do a multi-site because we have the school that we can also branch out into. But we're going to be practicing social distancing. But I think coming back down to dealing with this stress, what happened is, and coming into this thing, what happened, at least the way I view it, was when this entire thing hit, it didn't hit gradually. It hit like immediately. And everybody started playing catch up and everything was sort of closed. And now when things are starting to get settled down in the sense of, okay, we're functioning. Now the turnip cart is being upset again with, you know, at least in the state of Wisconsin, I can't imagine how angry people are, you know, to say that we for the last 2 months had to live under an executive order that has now been deemed unconstitutional. How do you get that time back?
Yep. Well, and this is part and parcel a lesson to us. This is really a hallmark of Orthodox Christianity and Lutheranism to be careful from making quick knee-jerk reactions.
Yep.
And that we've seen some of that with churches. We've seen some of that with our government and seeing some backlash from that. And that's, you know, and that's one of the things that I've been encouraging the people that I'm called to serve. And they are wonderful people. All three churches, love them dearly. Some more than others, but I jest. But not everybody in the three churches are seeing things eye to eye. I mean, even if you just took one church, not everybody sees eye to eye and approaches that same thing. You know, there are some that you know, they say to me, Pastor, we should not be conforming to any of this. I mean, I've had people tell me, Pastor, there is no evidence I've had some say to me, there's no evidence that there's even a virus. Now, I don't go that far. I have my own little conspiracy theories, which I will keep to myself. And really, they don't apply here in how we deal with things as a Christian anyway. But once again, you get people that say to heck in a handbasket with everything. Let's do what we want. And basically what they're saying, let's do what I want.
Right.
And here trying to find the blessed Lutheran biblical middle.
Well, and this is, and you know, I'm going to go back to the Reformation a little bit and just hover around there. You know, when Luther was reading the scriptures and the Spirit was leading him to come to a lot of these and reclaim the truths of scripture, right? And he came back and he pronounced to the church the freedom that we have in the justification pronounced over us. One of the greatest complaints that was ever levied against him was, now why are people going to do or not do certain things? Because you've given them freedom and now the law no longer can hold sway. And we're seeing that, I think, in a nuanced way today. We have those people that say, well, I'm free to do, right? We've convinced ourselves in the United States, I have freedom, that I am free to do whatever I want. But what we fail to see is, for security, if you want to feel secure, you have to give up freedom. It's just part and parcel. The more security you have, the less freedom you get. The more freedom you have, the more unsecure you get. So you have somebody who says, I want to do, and I want to do it my way. And then all of a sudden they get sick and they say, why'd you let me do it?
Well, you have to find somebody to blame. You know, and the opposite end of that spectrum is that too, freedom is not license. Freedom is not license to do whatever I want.
Well, it shouldn't be.
Whether it's in scripture, in a way, but there's a difference between freedom and license. Luther often asked the question because people asked him, once again, we're free to do whatever we want. Nobody's going to do anything. And Luther came back and said, as a Christian, what does your new man want to do?
Right. Right.
What does your new man want to do? We default to our sin. I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but everybody else is cursed like me and like the Apostle Paul, what wretched people we are. But we default to our sinful nature. That is the default mechanism, and we default to it way too quickly.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think, like and that's our default reaction. It's the knee-jerk reaction that we have to be careful in the church not to fall into. And this is the thing, the first thing, the Supreme Court made their ruling that night. I had an email from one of the pastors in the circuit who said, "So are we opening up on Sunday?" I mean, seriously, yeah. Are we opening up on Sunday? So since they've full open, and I responded, and I said, I can't tell you what to do, but I said, I think we need to stop and consider and really think, how are we going to do this so that we are making things the safest possible for everybody? But even when I talked with my elders and I was trying to put this all together for our plan, one of the things I kept rolling around in my head is, do you make it a mandatory thing that they have to come with masks? And I kind of thought to myself, I wish I wouldn't have to, but I know I'm going to have to, because I know they're not going to do it.
I found this when we've talked about it in our meeting, and this is one of the reasons why, as I've been leading people with caution, in a few places where we've had to make exceptions, I've named the exact cases in our council meetings, and I will not do it in public. But where I was told, Pastor, this is how it's going to be one way. And when the event came to be, it was almost completely opposite. And it's one of those things where as leaders and as church leaders and with us as pastors, we need to be prepared for the insanity of the sinful nature.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things that, you can't second guess, unfortunately. You can have all the best intentions and you can make all the plans in the world. And not only will God make light of those plans and do what he wants, but the sinful nature will put a muck in everything. You could have the best laid out plan, for the building, for the church, for the congregation, and someone comes in and totally upsets it all. One of the things, what do you do? The government has said, and the health officials have said, if at all possible, try to keep people from passing through other people's space and next to them and around them, if at all possible. So, we open up the church, we start filling from the front to the back. I can guarantee you, people are going to take offense to that, because they're going to walk into church and that's my spot. It's always been my spot. I want to sit in my spot.
Yep.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's not in the cards today. Or I haven't seen Ethel in 3 months. I want to sit next to Ethel. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't.
Yeah. We made this comment in our council meeting the other night that basically when we reopen worship, social distance and safe, we're basically going to be running it like a German Stalag.
You're going to have to. Unfortunately.
I mean, it's we're not looking forward to it, but looking out for everybody. In the state of Nebraska, where I serve a congregation there, I'm still waiting to find out what this means exactly, where Governor Ricketts has said that the faith leaders, the clergy, are responsible for the health and the safety and well-being of their worshipers. I don't know what that means. It kind of scares me. And then for the simple fact that actually this was something else one of the pastors was discussing for a time such as this little magazine that was put out to us yesterday, is that we as Christians need to be careful, and and again, not fearful, but to be prudent, that in cases like this, there will be people, or the potential of people, once we start easing up, looking to, and you don't even want to think this way, but looking to maybe contract COVID for financial gain.
Yeah.
That was something I had never thought about before. But, you know, and then that, and I have found this in the ministry too. We cannot assume that every member of our congregation is going to be gracious should somebody contract the disease. I've been part of congregations before where lifelong every Sunday members, something happened, and all of a sudden they're coming against the church with a humongous lawsuit.
Right. Because all of a sudden it was their fault, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And it's not, and that's not, it, and I'm going to tell you, we our society we live in is becoming more.
We had a little bit of a disconnect here, and I apologize. We're doing everything over, and here he is. He's back.
There I lost you. Yep. I don't know what happened.
There we go. You were saying we're living in a society.
We're living in a litigious society to where, you know, something happens, and you know, you get, you know, this, you know, not wanting to bash the entire lawyer system of lawyers, but, you know, we're going, they hear about something, and they're talking, well, hey, you've got the, you've got this right. You're looking out for yourself. And it's just stuff we're being encouraged as congregations, as leaders, Christian leaders, church councilmen, pastors, and everyone to be prudent and not to put ourselves into right. difficult, or not to open ourselves to difficult situations if possible.
Well, and this is, and I guess, you know, and I hate to say it this way, because our members look at us and they say, well, if you want to be bold and you want to be a minister of the gospel, you need to take this burden on, right? But the problem that I see in a lot of it is the fact that, you know, our members will say, Pastor, you need to take this on, but they wouldn't be willing to take this on. And yes. If you get in trouble, they're not willing to bail you out, because it's okay for you to do it, but it's not okay for them to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, this is all compiled stress, right? This is, dear listener, you are stressed because you have to stay at home. You're stressed because you have to work from home. You're stressed because you don't know what's going on with your job. Well, you know, your church and your congregation are stressed too, because they're trying to make sure that you stay safe. They're trying to make sure that we can minister to you. And your opinion and your neighbor's opinion and the other neighbor's opinion and everyone else's opinion from all the areas of the congregation are all screaming at the pastor or at the council and saying, do this. And what do you do? And what do you do? Because in the end, the pastor needs to keep himself safe so he can continue to do ministry within reason and within God's grace. The congregation needs to keep itself safe, because, you know, how horrible would it be if you have the reputation of being the church that opened up a new COVID case in your community? Because you weren't doing everything you could. I mean, it could still happen once we open up. It could still happen.
It could still happen.
But hopefully we're doing taking every precaution to not have it happen.
Yep. And it's not in our control, but we need to be using the brains that the good Lord gave us as to the best of our ability. And once again, going back to what Paul says, not thinking about ourselves, but towards the needs of others. And that's the attitude that Paul calls us to in Christ. That's the attitude of Christ Jesus that Paul calls us to. One where we put the needs of others before our own.
Well, and that, yeah. And that's Christ as an example, but it's also Christian freedom in a nutshell. Christian freedom is that we are free to live for someone else. And instead we take Christian freedom to mean we are free to live for me. And this is going to be the problem. And really, I understand. And we come back to it. I understand.
What you're talking about is many a sinful nature's favorite hymn, "How Great I Am, How Great I Am."
A playoff of "How Great Thou Art." Yes, but it is the sinful nature's chant, "How Great I Am." And I understand, dear listener. I'm right there with you. You know, I'm in a house now where my wife is working from home. She's upstairs at the kitchen table. My son is, well, I have to sit on him for my son to do the homework that he's supposed to do because still school is still going on. Luckily, my two youngest kids are at the age where they can go into daycare. And so one's in preschool or kindergarten. The other one's in preschool. And so their workload pretty much kind of ended. I mean, they still have some, but it's easy to do at night instead of having to have them home during the day. So they can go to daycare. But with me being at home trying to work, my wife being at home trying to work, my son being at home not working as much as he should, and moping around the house because he can't do anything, can't play with anybody else, can't see the kids from school, can't interact in the way that he was used to, it's a lot of tension. I get it. It's a lot of tension. And there's days where you're just like, okay, it's going to break and the dam is going to break and everything's going to spill out and you're going to say things you shouldn't say. You're going to try to do things that you probably shouldn't do. And you're going to throw caution to the wind and you're going to run out there and just go to the park and sit at the park and play around at the park when you know you shouldn't, or you're going to, you know, go to the bar and you're going to sit there and say, "I demand service," even though you know that you can't. You're going to stand outside with a picket and say, "I want my hairdresser to open," whatever the case may be.
Is this the right way to put it with the time of isolation that we have, you know, and all of us have it to different levels, where maybe I need to ask myself, all this extra time, am I spending extra time in the Bible? Am I spending extra time on my knees in prayer? Am I taking the time that I have to look out, not for my needs, but for the needs of those that I have been, that the Lord calls me to look out for.
And I think you're right. And I think I would even add that, you know, on Instagram, there was a meme that I ran across that showed a guy with a computer or with a TV remote in his hand. And the top of it said, just very simply, like you said, I prayed to the Lord that I would have more time to spend with him. And then on the bottom, it says, "How's that working for you?" And I thought that was just really, you know, kind of pointed because we do have so much time. The Lord has given us such a wonderful time to be instructors of our children, to show them, you know, not only how we can, in a limited way, be keeping some of the commandments, right? The fourth, the fifth, and then even worshiping the third, right? We don't have to go to church to still have worship in our homes together. We have all these reasons to be teaching our kids and sharing with our kids and teaching them, saying, you know, when we go to a store, if you can come with me, wear a mask. Well, why do I have to? Because you love someone else enough that you don't want to introduce them to something that you might have or don't have. But you're showing them that I care. And these are good lessons that our Lord gives us to teach. And how many of us are embracing them, but instead gathering around the kitchen table and complaining about, "I can't believe the government is doing this, and I can't believe I have to do this."
Or getting on Facebook and Twitter and complaining about it and telling other Christians how they're supposed to handle it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it comes back down to, you know, and it's easy to do. It's super easy to do, to point fingers and say, "Well, they did it better, so we have to do it this way." Or, "I'm doing it better, and they should all be doing it like me." Or, "I know what's best for everybody else, and so why don't they just let us do whatever we want? So, and if they want to stay home, they can stay home. If they want to let us go out, we can go out." In the end, I understand the stress. But how do you cope with it? I think that's where we have to go. I mean, we talked about all the different stressors, right? We talked about some of the things that are causing the problem, the tension, the maybe some aggravation, maybe some anger. But what do we do to fix it?
It's the still waters of, you know, just having Good Shepherd Sunday here a few Sundays ago. The green pastures, the quiet waters of God's word. Just think of those descriptions there in Psalm 23. The peacefulness. Where does that come from? It comes from the Good Shepherd. How does the Good Shepherd give it to us? Through the green pastures, through the quiet waters, all of those things of his word. Psalm 42, be still and know that I am God. Yeah. Once again, that stillness, that inner peace only comes from God's word. Last night I was riled up before bedtime. Went to bed and just couldn't sleep and got up and finally just sat down and, you know what, opened my Bible up and sat and started reading in the Psalms to calm my sinful nature, to put it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is where I love what you said, Pastor Harley, about the third commandment. This is where we all get screwed up. And I'm, again, happy as a clam that everybody wants to come back and gather and everybody's got their own plan for it. But this is the thing. This is the misconception that many of us have and we have had for our entire lives. Not downplaying worship together because the book of Hebrews tells us let us not give up meeting together. That is so important. But if we think the third commandment is only kept by walking into the church building, we are sadly, sadly, sadly mistaken. And the devil is sitting there with an ear-to-ear grin.
Yeah. And I think it goes, I just preached on this. I just, for this Sunday, and for those who have probably are going to hear this and then go to worship on Sunday, we had a technical issue on that. So it is what it is. but I preached on Acts and with Paul in the Areopagus, right? And notice what he says. I see that you're religious and I see all the objects of your worship. And that's really the ultimate problem, the objects of our worship. And sometimes the object can be the building, right? The building that we dedicated for worship. And so often that becomes, I have to worship there. Why? Because it's the building. Well, I love it. Thank you. I think it's a beautiful worship space, but God doesn't need a building. He can't be contained in it.
And is this a lesson where he's teaching us that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lesson where he's teaching us that he's not contained in one certain building. It's a lesson that he's teaching us that where two or three are gathered, there I am with them. Hello, that's mom, dad, and child.
And dear listeners, don't take away from this, please don't. If you want to get my blood pressure higher than what it is, this will do it. Don't go around saying Pastor Harley and Pastor Winsberger are saying that you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Christians go to church because we are Christians. It's not a fact of having to, needing to, whatever. We're told not to give up meeting together. Right now, where many of our congregations are making the choice to not meet together because we can't do it safely for our own communities, our church communities, much less are the communities that we live in. These aren't pleasant things, but this isn't something that's going to last forever. I see the Lord leading to me. There's good things coming out of this. People want it. Well, I've had people say to me, Pastor, when this is all done, the churches are going to be full. And I said, maybe for a Sunday or two, but it'll go back to the way it was. Well, Pastor, how can you say that? The sinful nature. Look how it's working now.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll last for a little bit. And then they'll say, well, now we're back to normal and I can go back to normal. Right.
And there will be some, and they'll let I'm not a fool with this either, who will let their sinful natures get the best of them and say, well, it didn't matter during the COVID thing, so it shouldn't matter now. Curb your sinful nature.
Right. Or they'll say, you've been live streaming all through this COVID thing. Why don't you live stream the regular service so I can sit on my couch and participate there?
And there's a part of me that believes this too. I want to say, because I've said this before, people that don't show up in church aren't going to sit for an hour on their couch and watch it at home.
That's true, too.
There might be a few. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say that that's not going to be a temptation. But for the most part, the person who isn't in church in the first place is not going to now sit down in front of their computer and for an hour for a worship service. That, trust me, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. And I agree. And I would agree. I know that.
My own sinful nature. And you know what? My sinful nature is just like everybody else's.
Yeah. Well, you know, but I think ultimately if you're stressed and you are, and you're finding that you need an outlet, you need to communicate with somebody, you know, the scriptures is the best place to start. The Lord is talking to you. Return to Him in prayer, as you respond to what you've read in scripture. And then, you know, I know that I do it, Pastor Winsberger. I think you do it. We have Bible studies still going on. We have ways that you can communicate and reach out to us. You know what? There's this thing that we've invented. I know it's kind of new and it hasn't been on the market forever, but it's a phone and it connects people through the airwaves and lines, that with a number, and you can dial it and you can talk with real people most of the time, unless you're talking with a business, then you get another Android or another computerized something. But if you talk with us, you can always call the church. You can always call our lines, you know, for our houses as we're in these things. And we'd be more than happy to talk with you, more than happy to share God's grace with you. Any pastor would be looking for an opportunity to talk with his members, to talk with anybody and share Jesus. Because they're stressed too. This is not what we signed up for. When we went to seminary and we said, you know, we wanted to get into this and we felt led to get into ministry and things, we said, you know, we hope for the day that we never had to step foot back into our church and we never had to see our people and we never said that. We said we want to be among our people. We want to be serving our people. We want to be in church. We want to be doing the services. And even the headaches that came from all the other things that were happening within the church, at least in my opinion, seemed a lot more manageable than what it's become now. I don't know about you.
No, and you know, another thing that maybe adds to the stress too is out there in Wisconsin, you guys are more on top of each other than we are out here. We're more spread out. Already out here, we're dealing with a little bit because in the Rosebud circuit, which we're a little more spread out, there's been some concern, frustration brought up because we're not all of our Rosebud churches in the Rosebud circuit out here are doing the same thing.
Right.
And that's all right. Despite the frustration and saying, well, you know, we've heard when you were out here, we heard this. Well, what's the neighboring church doing? And how many times did we say under normal circumstances, I don't care, they're not us?
Yeah, now in Wisconsin, you get more of the, well, now we're competing with, not what are they doing? It's, well, we're competing with them. And it says, I'm not competing with anybody. But during this COVID thing, one church does something and everyone else says, well, they're doing that. So now we have to compete with them. What am I competing for? What am I competing for? You know, if you go there and it works for you during this time for you to get God's word and that's fine, do it. You know, if I don't think we're going to lose members over that. And if we do, then what am I supposed to do? Sorry, you can't. I mean, you can only do things that's within reason with what you have and how you can work.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a disparaging thing to say to one church and the other church, you know, good for you. I'm glad it works. I'm glad you were able to find something.
And none of our congregations, church councils, together with their pastors, are making thoughtless, unprayerful decisions. They're praying about it. They're looking and saying what is best, not only for our congregation members, but also for our communities. And they're prayerfully reaching those decisions. And this is something that, once again, we all got to remember. You know what? that this is what our people elected these men on our church councils to do. And in my devotion that I did online this morning, I thank those gentlemen, the church councils I have in the three churches I'm serving. I'm grateful for every one of them. They're undergoing stress. They know that they're making decisions that not everybody likes, because they're getting phone calls too. And I appreciate their patience and their time that they're putting into this too. So it's a reminder to me, because this is what my sinful nature says, especially when I look at our leaders in government a lot, even pre-COVID, and my sinful nature will be the same way post-COVID. Instead of complaining, instead of criticizing, or maybe not saying instead of, but before complaining, before criticizing, I need to be spending more times on my knees praying for those individuals than I do speaking out against them.
And if you have an opportunity, maybe join the conversation to help them, right?
Yes.
Instead of pointing fingers and saying they didn't do. And then when I say help, I don't mean call them up and say, do this. I mean actually help and say, what can we do? Yeah. What can I do to help? How can I come together and participate in what's going on to make this a goal? I mean, for my congregation, we've been doing online services. I still have people that are coming in and cleaning the church, ones and twos, you know, as couples. I still have people that are coming in and they're changing out the banners and they're changing out the pyramids, you know, when no one else is there. This doesn't work without them. This doesn't work without any of them. It doesn't work without the councilmen who come in and fill the oil so we can light the candles. And for our teachers, I know in South Dakota we don't have in Valentine we do, but for us, like out here for St. John, we have our teachers. They're working behind the scenes. They're not, you don't see their face all the time. But man, they're grading the papers. They're getting the stuff out. They're doing what they can as best as they can to serve the people that were in their care. They're those kids. And to think that they're not missing those kids, you'd be sorely mistaken. They did not sign up for this either.
And communication, this is one thing I found out here. This isn't a complaint. This is just human nature. This has been going on for 2 months, and now here just recently this past week, I've gotten reports from people. Well, so-and-so doesn't have a computer. They have it and they have no way to keep up. Okay, thanks for telling me that now. And I say that a little bit sarcastically, but I appreciate knowing it now. And then I tell them, okay, you know what? Have you told them about our radio broadcast? Now that you tell me, now I can actually contact them and actually say, find a way to get a better way to minister to them with God's word. But communicate. If you know these things, communicate with your pastor. We've got people got this time on their hands. Call somebody up. Encourage them. Sit and find out, like you said, find out how they're doing. Share God's word with them. This is part of what it means to be a church family, a body of believers. We have so many opportunities to take on individual hands-on ministry here. It's beautiful.
Well, and not just say, and I would just add this, you know, don't just turn to the pastor and say, do it. But if like you have the bulletin, you can print it from our congregation. You can print off the bulletin. You get an email that says, hey, this is what's going on. Hit print on your computer, throw it in an envelope and send it to the person that couldn't get it.
Yep.
You don't have to wait for me to do it. Not that I'm not willing to do it or I don't want to do it. But, I mean, we can all be a participant in the ministry.
And I am grateful for where we live out here for many reasons. But one of them here is, too, yeah, not everybody has a computer, but every Sunday morning there's a sermon on the local radio station from one of our local Wells pastors. Is it the same thing as being in church? No. But you know what? It's God's word. It's a regular ministry that all our congregations are supporting. As I look out here, there are not any individuals that are being withheld from the means of grace.
You know, probably just to wrap up this podcast, so we're hitting the hour mark here. I remember one of the members back at Trinity, and a wonderful, wonderful member. He retired, and it wasn't so long after his retirement, a couple months or so, I said, "So how's retirement treating you?" And one of the things I remember, because it sort of came back to me, because this is how it feels. He says, "Every day is a Saturday, except for Sunday." And I kind of am feeling that way, right? Every day seems to be the same day, except for Sunday.
Yep.
You know, and maybe that'll bring some hope and comfort to you too, dear listener, as you're thinking of the stress that you have. Make a day, set it aside for the Lord. Every day is going to be the same, but that day make it different, right? That made it,
yep.
Make it different. Yep. What a good thing for us maybe to end on. What do you got? Anything else?
Actually, I just wanted to make an announcement. Tomorrow is my 58th birthday, but due to the coronavirus, I am postponing it. And so I'll be turning 58 at a later date that I'll let you know about sometime in the future. So,
well, we say you are a jolly good fellow, and happy birthday to you a little bit early. And to our listeners, may you live a limited stress, hopefully stress-free remainder of this COVID, better at home, free to roam, whatever we're doing. And we'll see you when we can all come back to church.